Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, and as always, you're invited to take control of the airwaves on this Monday night, 603-283-6160. If you'd like to join in on discussions, you can talk about whatever we're going to be discussing or whatever is on your mind. The 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Bonnie.
And Mark Edge.
And I probably should have, but I didn't do any mic checks prior to the show, so I think you're going to come through a little lower than most. But I'll keep an eye on it. Anyway, interesting stuff happening in the world today. There was apparently a shooting that I don't have any information on, and I find that shootings in particular are something that I don't want to talk about on the day of. And this happened more recently with the I've already forgotten the details of it.
Tennessee.
The school, yes, thank you.
Christian, if it's like a church or something.
The school shooting in Tennessee, where we didn't even talk about it that day, and that proved to be a good thing because all of the media reports that day were about, you know, something this girl did or whatever, and then it turns out that this was a trans person, but that was almost not even mentioned that first day of the shooting. This evidently critical piece of the puzzle, not even talked about on the day of the shooting.
It's been that way with a lot of shootings that we've talked about on the air. I always regret it because you read something that you've read on, that you've seen on the internet, and a rush to get news out just results in the counterfactual information going out on the air on our show. And
that
I guess
happens.
I'd rather, you know, I'll take this stance right now. It's bad to shoot people.
Yeah.
Like, not good.
That's a safe position to stand in.
I feel like it's not even really news. Like, people die every day. We don't cover every single time somebody dies in Chicago every day.
Also true. And it's dangerous. There were several years ago, there was this shooting at a university campus, I think in Florida. And libertarians all over the internet immediately started talking about the same libertarian talking point. Oh, this is because it was a gun-free zone, and if everyone had guns, this wouldn't have happened or whatever. And then it turned out that it wasn't even a shooting. A person drove his car onto the campus, and he ran over some people. So, in effect, in that instant that it became revealed that it wasn't a shooting whatsoever, all of these libertarians out there arguing that more people should have guns suddenly went from arguing that this incident where this guy ran people over, he should have also have had a gun, was what they ended up arguing, and they didn't realize it because they spouted off too soon, called it a shooting, said, oh, this should have been prevented by a good guy with a gun. More people should have guns, and that would have included. It was just bad. They should have just shut up and waited for all of the facts to come, more of the facts, because you can't wait for all of the facts. But
aren't you better off if you have a gun and somebody's driving a car at you with the intent to run you over than if you don't have a gun?
Well, the gun's not going to stop the car.
It's not going to stop the car, but it will stop the driver from chasing you as you run perpendicular to that car. So
maybe
you can shoot in, presuming you're a good shot. This takes practice, right? Shoot into
like a 9mm.
The driver's, driver's area, take him out, hope that there's not, I don't know, a baby behind him, and then run perpendicular to where the car is, and then he continues on and kills the person who was standing behind you.
Now, if you get hit by a car, it has to be a really quick thing that you can't have done anything about, because it's like, I could run away from a car if it was, you know, if I could see it coming and I had all the time to think to shoot him, you know, I don't know.
Yes, yeah,
I tend to think that's true, and I've never run away from anything like that. But I've seen a lot of movies, right? And on this channel that I watch called CinemaSins, they refer to it as the Prometheus school of running away from things, which is like where you run directly in the path of the thing you're running from,
yes,
instead of perpendicular to it. And I suspect that's the natural instinct whenever a car is coming for you.
Sure.
It's not to run to the left of the car, to the right of the car.
Sure.
It's to run away from the car, even though you can't possibly run fast enough to outrun it. I suspect in that situation, most people are going to turn and run and not run perpendicular to the car. So shooting, probably not going to help. But then, you know, it's fight or flight. And
the best thing to do is to get near something that pretty permanent.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of those things, light posts and trees and
cement columns.
Just so, right, cement columns and planters and that kind of stuff. That's my best advice.
I've never been chased by a car, but I have been in some situations that, you know, require fast thinking and reflexes.
Yep, same here.
I don't know that I trust even the average person or even myself to be able to go, okay, well, there's a car coming for me. I need to climb that tree. Right? I don't think that's what most people would do.
I think you're better off if you have thought about it in the last X number of months.
Maybe.
Which is the only reason I gave the advice to run perpendicular.
Okay, fair enough.
Because, you know, at the very least, somebody thought, oh, yeah, if a car's coming at you, it's probably best to go perpendicular than running away from it.
Regardless, one of the first things I saw about this shooting today was that the shooter wasn't even trans, but we had people out there saying, oh, well, he's a leftist because he put his pronouns in his LinkedIn profile or whatever. I don't know if that's true or not. I don't care. I'm not looking into it.
I have my pronouns in my LinkedIn.
Do you?
I do.
Might be for getting a job.
His Majesty, Your Majesty, His Majesty.
Right. Yeah. Again, those aren't pronouns. Those are titles, but whatever.
Well, if they're there.
This is a fight that we have hashed out on the air before. And
but
we don't know
whether or not that's what he may have had in his title.
Well, it seems likely that he probably had he, him, because, like, unlike you, this person was probably seeking a job at some point. But
that's right.
I mean, I think that it's good to put he, him in your profile to get a job, because then they'll know you're male and you'll be more likely to get the job.
She's not wrong. At any rate, that was the first thing I learned about it, right, was that, you know, he had his pronouns listed in his LinkedIn, and that means he's a liberal, so it's another liberal shooting. And now it has turned out that he's a former employee of the bank that this shooting occurred at.
Yeah, it sounds like a labor dispute.
Yeah, and if we were on the show 4 hours ago, when that initial thing went out, we would have been painting a completely different picture based on what we know now. So
I just jumped to a conclusion.
A labor dispute?
Yeah, the labor dispute was a conclusion, right? I don't know why this subject did anything. I'm looking at, I'm looking at some headlines here, and they're corroborating what you're saying, and that's about it.
Yeah, and that's just based off the fact that he used to be an employee at this bank, allegedly, right? But we don't know that, and we wouldn't have known that if we had talked about it 4 hours ago, as everyone out there was on Twitter doing 4 hours ago, knowing absolutely nothing about it, just accusing this guy of being a liberal who hated banks or whatever. And, oh, look, it turns out he's actually a former employee, and I don't know what his motivations were. I'm just saying that whatever people thought his motivations were 7 hours ago when the attack occurred are not what people are saying his motivations are now. So anyone who was doing a podcast that they recorded 5 hours ago spewed incorrect information because they were willing to jump the gun and talk about this long before there were any facts known.
I feel like a leftist would be less likely to hate the banks. It's like if they don't believe in, like, Keynesian economics, then they can't be a leftist. I've never heard them going off about how the banks are evil. It's mostly either libertarians or maybe even a right-winger.
It depends on what is meant by leftist, really, because I like the leftists that are actually leftists, right? Like the ones who are against corporatism and the banking system and the military-industrial complex. I like those kinds of leftists. I would count myself among those types of leftists. The socially liberal types are like down with the banks. Most of the people on the left just also happen to be communists, and I disagree with them on that note, but whatever. We agree on all of these other things. We can overlook the whole free market versus communism thing for now.
It's interesting how liberalism used to be whatever it was that was counter to monarchists.
Yeah, because the goal was to liberate people from control,
right,
to democratize things. And
I'm not sure that democracy brings freedom,
no,
but that's what it used to mean.
It's two wolves and a sheep arguing over what's for dinner, right?
But it does seem like somewhere along the line, liberal turned from this counter-monarchy situation to pro-socialism, pro-government control, pro-authoritarianism, opposite of what liberalism is.
Libertarians are the original left. There's nothing more left than libertarianism in certain contexts.
In my opinion, that is, it's an accurate statement, yeah.
Right, but
we're
the crazy ones for saying that.
I've been present for one guy from the CAS, the Strike the Root folks,
Center for the Stateless Society.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I was on their podcast.
And somebody from one of the libertarian, you know, the sort of big righty libertarian inside the Beltway group, CEI, I think. These two debating whether libertarian was right or left based on sort of the French Parliament post, you know, during the time of Robespierre and these sorts of things.
Sure.
And it was fascinating to listen to. And ultimately, I came to the conclusion, this doesn't matter.
That sounds like libertarians in a nutshell. They will spend hours arguing about, you know, 18th century France and whether or not libertarianism is left or right in the context of Robespierre.
I think it's true that it's not really, it doesn't matter because it's basically, it's really neither. Like, you can be a right-winger socially and be a libertarian. It's just like whenever, when you're saying those things, they should just be your opinion. You shouldn't be like, oh, all libertarians believe that trans people are demonic. It's not a libertarian thing. But you can believe trans people are demonic and also believe that they have the right to do whatever they want. And you have the right to do whatever you want and own property, you know.
I think the four quadrant, obviously that's a bit redundant, but the quadrant approach to this with the X and the Y axis.
What we called the Nolan chart at one point,
yeah,
but
because
the internet doesn't call it that.
It was the libertarian, one of the founders of the Libertarian Party.
Gary Nolan, maybe? No, another Nolan.
No, but it was it the same Nolan, though, that I'm thinking of? Was it the guy who founded the Libertarian Party who created that? Okay.
Yes.
I don't remember his first name.
No.
I should, and I knew his first name 5 years ago, but I don't know it now, and it's not irrelevant. Anyway,
Mr. Nolan.
It is the Nolan chart, and I find that to be a more accurate way of looking at things, but there's something about it that's still not quite right, right? It's not just a matter of authoritarianism versus libertarianism or conservatism versus liberalism. There are, if anything, it would be more like a cube or a sphere, the political leanings in the United States. And trying to represent it in a two-dimensional form is a noble goal, I guess, but I also think it's probably impossible to do, right? Like, I think all of the authoritarian leanings tend to be on the right. What do we define the right as if not liberal, if not conservatism or conserving the status quo, and the left as liberalization? Well, liberalization is obviously counter to authoritarianism. So it's
right. It always puts me in the right bottom quadrant.
The free market anarchist quadrant effectively is what that would be, right? Like the liberal and the Well, no, that wouldn't be the liberal, because the liberal would be the lower left one.
Right, that's the thing, and it's like, anybody who's ever heard me talk on the show calls me a leftist.
We're definitely both on the left.
That's why I like the Nolan chart at pollquiz.com. So you can go to polquiz.com, and you can take the world's smallest political quiz, and you can ask, this one's actually a little longer than the world's smallest, but it'll put you in a given location. Like, so for instance, on military service, the defense of a country is the responsibility of those serving in the army. Choice one, military service shall be compulsory as a way to contribute to common welfare and or better educate our youth.
Gross.
I can see that.
B, military service shall be voluntary. That is the best way to have a professional army prepared to defend our interests and commitments abroad.
I mean, if there's going to be one, it should be voluntary.
And C, military service shall be voluntary in the case of in case an army exists, and if so, its nature should be limited to its most basic duties of defense.
Right. See, this is my issue with these sort of questions or these sort of political quizzes in general. Like, many years ago, I took the one for, what is the voting website that everyone uses? I can't think of it right now.
I don't know.
Anyway, all of these presidents say they list themselves on this website.
All right. And then you take the
and then
you
take
fill it out,
and it's like, this is the president that you're, more or less.
I got Tulsi Gabbard.
It's very popular, and I can't remember what the name of the website is right now. But anyway, I did it, and it put me, like, the most I agreed with someone was Gary Johnson at, like, 76%. That may have been it.
Yeah, that sounds right.
The questions themselves were fundamentally flawed. Like, it didn't ask that exact question about the military, but it might ask something about economics. And, like, my solution, my answer is, you know, open it up to a free market and let people do what they want as long as it's voluntary. But that answer wasn't anywhere on there.
It was couched in something a bit different. But here's what I would say
Wasn't
Gary Johnson not the best choice for you for whom to vote? Twere you to vote?
No, I voted for John McAfee in that election.
Great. Mm-hmm. Was John McAfee one of the options that Ballotpedia had? Had John McAfee filled it out?
I don't know.
I got Austin Peterson, but that was 2016.
I think it was 2016 when I did it. I was never so jaded about the Libertarian Party as I was in 2016, because I remember remember when John Stossel hosted the Libertarian Party debate? I was like, this is amazing, right? This is Fox News. I mean, it was a Fox Business Channel or whatever, so it wasn't like main Fox News, but this is a debate between Libertarian presidential candidates. That's amazing. That doesn't happen, but I'm not going to watch it because what could these people possibly have to disagree with one another on? It's all really simple. You adhere to the non-aggression principle, and that's it. I was so naive in misunderstanding how much these people would disagree. And within minutes, I realized that there was only one libertarian on this stage and two conservatives, or a mostly liberal conservative, who couched their ideas in libertarianism. John McAfee, of course, was the actual libertarian on the stage, and he was extremely well-spoken, and he should have gotten the presidential nomination from the Libertarian Party, but they didn't. They wanted the presentable guy to go against Donald Trump, and that's not the way this works. John McAfee absolutely had the best chance of beating Donald Trump out of anyone who ever ran against Donald Trump.
He was just like the rogue guy like Donald Trump, but way cooler.
Exactly that. You don't send some sane, ordinary, button-up person to go argue with the insane guy. No, you send your own completely crazy person to argue with him, and no one was better at that than John McAfee, who...
I can't argue completely with your logic on this. I must say I liked Gary Johnson. I've met him on many occasions. I have his cell number in my phone.
Okay.
I like the guy.
He seems like he's an all right guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't like think that it was hell on earth if he was the president. It's just that he was going against John McAfee, and I thought John McAfee was much better as well.
I wouldn't say it was hell on earth if Gary Johnson was president, but I would say it would be hell on earth if Bill Weld was vice president. My biggest issue by far with Gary Johnson is that he brought Bill Weld to the Libertarian Party and vouched for him. And Bill Weld was like, look, guys, if you make me your vice presidential candidate, I will be a libertarian for life, and I will always stand with you guys. And and before the campaign was even over,
he was endorsing Hillary. That's what scared me enough to be like, okay, the Libertarian Party might be a psyop. I just got to vote for Trump because I can't have Hillary win. Sounds
crazy. Did you vote for Trump?
I voted for Trump in 2016.
I voted for Barack Obama general, once upon
right?
a time. So.
Wait, what?
The general election.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only time I ever voted in the federal election.
I didn't vote for George W. Bush because I don't think I was old enough, but I certainly supported George W. Bush in his reelection because, you know, I was from conservative Republicans, and that was how I was raised, so that was what I thought was right. And you don't change presidents in the middle of a war. That's what everyone around me kept saying. So I was like, okay, well, I support you. That logic makes sense to me. But of course, very quickly, I realized that George W. Bush was a liar who didn't care anything about any of the things that I cared about. So then Barack Obama, of course, came along and was like, look, I promise hope and change, right? We're going to change the world. We're going to fix America's image. We're going to end the military-industrial complex. They gave the man the Nobel Peace Prize.
Don't forget the whole idea that you were going to not have to talk about race relations anymore because a black man has been president.
Well, that didn't have any
It was one of the reasons I voted for him.
Okay. That didn't enter my
I really like the idea of not of America moving into a post-racial America.
Sure.
I was all for that. You know what? I could live with that. That's worth a really inconsequential vote. Sure.
Yeah, see, you were naive like I was, only I was naive in a different
way. It got
way.
Much, much worse.
Yes, I mean, of course it did. So did the military-industrial complex, right? All of the things that we voted for Barack Obama to do got worse under Barack Obama's presidency. Gitmo didn't close. He expanded the wars. He dropped more bombs than any other president in American history at that point.
He was called the deporter-in-chief, too, because he deported a lot of people.
I'm pretty sure you'd get called racist if you were arguing about whether or not there's racism in America, and you said, a black man was president. I'm pretty sure that'd be a racist comment.
It doesn't sound like a racist comment to me.
I don't know if it's racist, but it's very myopic and short-sighted. It's like saying that global warming can't be real because it was cold today, right? To me, the logic just isn't there. It makes sense
on the
surface.
I gotta agree with that, too.
Well, let me ask you this. Is if you were arguing for racism and Barack Obama hadn't been president...
What do you mean? I was arguing for racism.
You're saying that racism exists in America.
Yes.
America is the most racist place on the planet.
That's
or whatever,
not what I said.
Whatever,
but okay.
Whatever talking point somebody might be totting out. We're at this point, we're talking about a fantasy world anyway, because I'm going to say, because Barack Obama wasn't president in this fantasy world.
Right.
And then you say, as part of the proof that America is a racist place, you say, there's never been a black president.
And Barack Obama lost to McCain.
That would be, to some extent... A it would be a point in your favor. Yep, they've never had one.
Sure. Probably. And but I,
so I'd say it's proof.
We saw exactly this happen with Hillary Clinton when she lost to Donald Trump. But yep. there were liberal friends of mine who unfriended me because they were like, oh, this is the worst day for women's rights everywhere. She's supposed to smash this glass ceiling. And I pointed out to them, you either care about the gender of the president or you don't. Right? You can either say that race should matter or you should let it matter. And I think the perspective that it shouldn't matter, we can acknowledge the realities that black people in America face without making race a significant factor worth discussing. The same thing with gender and Hillary Clinton. We can acknowledge that women get screwed over in the United States, I mean, on Earth in general, right? Without making the presidential campaign and office all about her gender. And I don't think it would have smashed the glass ceiling for Hillary Clinton to have been president.
Anytime, I think Hillary Clinton did. So the proof that the fact that Hillary Clinton got more votes than Donald Trump is evidence to me that there is no glass ceiling. That the glass ceiling.
And, Hillary Clinton, though.
If we want to use the terminology smash the glass ceiling.
Isn't that all about pay?
I don't know.
Glass ceiling all about pay?
You don't want to descend into the pay conversation because, in fact, women are not paid less than men.
No, I don't believe that they are.
But so let's say Jesse Owens, number 42, baseball player, smashes the glass ceiling in baseball, becomes right. The first black baseball player. Now, this guy did a lot.
That was Jackie Robinson.
Jackie Robinson, I'm sorry.
Okay.
What did I say?
There was a Jackie Owens as well, so I didn't think much about
Excuse
it, but okay.
Me. So in this case, you know, smashes the ceiling, or the fact that he was able to get in says there wasn't one at that moment. Anyway, just because the ceiling, the fact that they're able to make it suggests to me that there's no smashing of the ceiling. But that's beside the point. I think it's
if you're the only person in all of white basketball, seems like you had to like smash through something. It's not like it was like everybody was suddenly black.
Yeah,
it's got to be a first.
I think there probably is a glass ceiling. I don't know if I would say that there's one on the presidency because I don't think it matters. If you rub elbows with the right people, I think you can become president regardless of what's between your legs or regardless of what you identify as and regardless of what your skin color is.
I think you can now.
Yeah, well, I think that was probably always true. It's just
it certainly wasn't true in the 1700s.
Well, it was, but the right people that you need to rub elbows with wouldn't rub elbows with you mm-hmm. in the 1700s, right?
That would be the glass ceiling.
I guess.
Okay, I just thought glass ceiling had something to do with, like, the amount of pay and, like...
Glass ceiling means that you can't go through it, but you can see through it like it's not there. It's an invisible barrier.
But you can smash it.
Right. Well, it's an invisible barrier that prevents a thing from occurring.
Okay.
But you can't talk about it because you can't really define it because it's invisible.
Okay.
That makes sense.
That's the idea.
But I'm not sure, you know, that Barack Obama ended racism by becoming president. Obviously,
I'm pretty sure he didn't.
No,
I think in retrospect we can fall down on the we can make a conclusion on that.
Yes, but I don't think it was ever going to get better with Barack Obama becoming president. I don't think that Hillary Clinton becoming president would have ever been a victory for women's rights or anything. I think Bonnie has done more things for women's rights than Hillary Clinton will ever do or has ever done. Because Hillary Clinton is a statist and she doesn't care anything about the rights of anyone except herself, and all she wants is power to rule over other people, and that to me runs counter to everyone's rights. But what are your thoughts? Is there a glass ceiling? If so, is it for race or women or what? Give us a call. Enlighten us. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Yeah. USA News update. Four people are dead, nine wounded, following a shooting at a bank in downtown Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville Police Chief Jacqueline Gwynn Villarroel described the suspect.
White male, 23 years of age, who was employed at Old National Bank. His weapon of choice was a rifle.
She went on to say the suspect shot at officers who returned fire, killing him. Among those in critical condition is a police officer who had just graduated from the police academy. An expelled Tennessee lawmaker has been reappointed. Democrat Justin Jones was one of two African Americans kicked out of the Tennessee House last week for protesting gun violence on the floor of the House. Today, the Nashville City Council voted unanimously to reinstate him. A new, faster asylum screening process is going to be tested out this week for people crossing the southern border illegally. Officers will conduct interviews over the phone, and migrants will be offered legal counsel during the process. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Talk Live, 603-283-6160. If you want to weigh in, that's 603-283-6160. With you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
It's Bonnie.
And Mark Edge.
And of course, you are invited to take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever you like. But we've been discussing what is Democrats, what is conservatism, these sort of concepts. We're going to move on here because I've got an article here that I've been wanting to get into for a few days. The reason we got into that was because obviously there was a school shooting today, and I find it unwise for us to wade into that territory this prematurely. And I've seen it bite people in the rear too many times.
Bite us.
Because not enough info is out yet.
Right.
Right. I mean, I guess it hasn't been, the consequences haven't been bad, but it's embarrassing to be wrong, breathtakingly wrong, on an issue.
Sure.
The best time to do that is day of.
Yes.
You know, an attempt to get the news out, you comment, even offhandedly. I commented on this, we didn't even read a story, and I found myself commenting that this sounds like a workplace argument. Workplace,
yeah.
Issue. And again, I don't know. I haven't even read the article, and I don't want to.
More importantly, I think we as a society, we all argue that we got to at least let the body get cold before we politicize this and start arguing about, okay, well, then don't politicize it and argue about it.
Right.
Let the bodies actually cool off before you make it a news topic of the day. So I feel like we should lead by example, so to speak, and do exactly that. And we're not going to politicize this shooting on the day of the shooting like everyone out there is doing. And I think that's a good thing. That's if we might get criticized for, you're not talking about current events or whatever. So, no, we're having respect for the issue at hand by avoiding it.
And why do you want every single news station you turn on to be talking about the same thing?
Yeah, but they are. You know, I'm sure the top of the hour news break that we're going to go to here in, you know, half an hour or whatever is going to spend most of that news break talking about the shooting today. It's the number one thing on Drudge Report right now, and I just scroll right past it. Now, not because I'm not interested or because I don't care about it, but because it just happened.
And
right?
It's interesting, you know, there's plenty of times that more people are shot in a given neighborhood. Like, when you think about high-crime neighborhoods.
Right.
Yeah.
Or just the city of Chicago, right? There's shootings there every single day.
Or, like, Yemen right now. We're not covering a shooting happening in Yemen right now because they're having a war.
Also really good points. But I have a story here about Elon Musk, and his feud with the media taking a toll on Twitter. And I like watching what's happening on Twitter. I don't like Elon Musk.
But you don't? No,
I can't stand Elon Musk.
He's based.
No, he's not.
What's base mean?
He's a frat bro who appeals to libertarians.
I never knew much about Elon Musk, but Arya has said that lots of stuff I didn't know before, and it made him sound a lot less based.
Yeah, I mean, his parents owned a freaking diamond mine in apartheid South Africa.
Okay.
And that was how he got his start.
That doesn't bother me.
Apartheid doesn't bother you? Apartheid existed.
I mean, America came out of Jim Crow, and before that, antebellum.
Yes, but Elon Musk's entire claim to fame started with that diamond mine as a result of apartheid in South Africa. And then he came here, and he just got money from the American government.
I was always told he was, like, really, or not told, but, like, you know, you get the impression he's, like, really smart, and he created Tesla. But I didn't know he just bought Tesla.
He also bought SpaceX, did not create it. He constantly, and PayPal is another that I thought... He actually founded PayPal, right? But nope, that was another one that he just bought. He gets credit for creating Tesla and for creating PayPal, but he didn't create any of these things. He just bought them with money that he got from the American government and from this diamond mine in apartheid South Africa.
In many cases, there's different talents, right? Some people can be the sort of startup entrepreneurs, and other people are better sort of mid-level, you know, they take it from the mid-level to the high level. It seems like that's where his talent set lies.
Sure. Well, every tick I've ever seen had the talent of sucking blood, but that doesn't mean I'm going to praise them on their blood-sucking abilities. And from what I can tell, Elon Musk is little more than a parasite on society.
I, for one, welcome our new South African overlord.
Well, that's certainly what he would like to think, and he certainly thinks a lot of himself. And he's impulsive as well, which is something that doesn't get talked about a whole lot. But if you read the reports of any of these people who have worked for his companies, he's really impulsive. And you can see this in how he's managing Twitter now. His impulsive reactions to competitive products or opinions he dislikes are having an outsized impact on the media industry, which represents some of Twitter's most hyper-engaged users, and they mean like the New York Times and MSNBC, and I'm not sure any of those news organizations actually constitute Twitter's most hyper-engaged users, right? I'm not convinced that the New York Times does anything more on Twitter than tweet their stuff and then log off, right? Like a lot of corporations, they want the most sanitized, the most clean social media presence they can have.
Not Arby's.
No. Especially and considering some of the people have ended up getting hired there and some of the bad backlash.
Right. You mean for the New York Times?
Right.
Yeah. But you do have other corporations like Arby's or Wendy's or whatever that are much braver in their social media. I think they probably...
Nihilist Arby's is a spoof account, is it not?
Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking.
Wendy's is certainly not a spoof account.
I don't know. I haven't seen the Wendy's account, but...
Never? Okay. Well, it's notorious on the internet for being awesome.
Maybe I need to get a Wendy's burger to support them, but... Nihilist Arby's, I don't think is Arby's.
Probably not. Nihilist Arby's seems like it probably is.
Doesn't
not
sound
Arby's.
Like it yet.
But the Wendy's account is definitely real, and there's other examples of corporate accounts that are doing similar things to the Wendy's account. Wendy's was just like the most well-known, and I think probably the first one to do it. And I can imagine the New York Times doing any of that sort of thing. But Musk has forced news companies to choose between their commercial interests and their values. I'm also not convinced that the New York Times has any values other than their commercial interests. Until now, business needs have won out, but the industry is beginning to reach a breaking point. So the person who wrote this certainly thinks a lot about the media and the New York Times, and just the they have that religious view of the American media as this bastion of democracy and nobility and freedom that it just simply isn't. It's a corporate machine that is spewing out corporate nonsense.
And controlled by two mega corporations.
Yes, and it doesn't seem to do anything except spew propaganda. And at least Musk, for all his flaws...
Well, there has to be enough truth in it that people believe it.
Propaganda doesn't have to be false, right? But that they're still spewing propaganda. And a lot of it is false, I would argue. But Musk, despite all of his flaws... He is right that a lot of these media places, I think he said the New York Times in particular, is a propaganda outlet. On Sunday, Musk added a new, quote, government-funded label to a few select media outlets that receive some funding from the government, including NPR and BBC. And he's not wrong.
He's right. Not. I mean, they put it on the Russian RT as soon as the war started. They put a government-funded media station, and it was always true about NPR as well.
I would argue that same label should be on Twitter, however.
NPR needs... NPR is like a teenager that still nurses.
I don't know enough NPR. What? Yes.
This happens.
Clearly, I don't know enough about NPR.
Well, they get about 10% of their funding.
Oh, I see. You're saying
or
that.
They, it did before, prior to sort of podcast. They may even get more now, more private funding than public funding. But at one point, it was like 10% of their funding came from the government and 90% came from underwriting and viewers like you.
Okay.
And
so you're saying they could have weaned off by now?
Right.
But, well,
having run a media organization, I can tell you they can take a 10% hit. And they could use that 10% hit to say, ladies and gentlemen, we have spun off. We do not want to be government funded. We don't want to have any appearance of impropriety. So we have cut the cord. Please up your donations. And I know I would have, because I was at one time a donor to NHPR. The NPR station here. And then they went off the rails.
I would certainly agree that they should do that. And, you know, Musk should do that as well. Should stop taking money from the government, as should Twitter. That's taking not just money, but cues from the American government. And maybe that's not true under Elon Musk, but if we're going to apply the government funded label to NPR and the BBC, then it also has to go on Tesla and Twitter itself as a whole. So the BBC is pushing...
Well, Tesla, does it get a lot of government money, or do people that buy Teslas get a tax break?
It's a little bit of both. Tesla doesn't actually get a lot of money directly from the government. They do get some money directly from the government, but not a lot.
Is it 10%?
I don't remember. But most of the money that Tesla gets is actually from selling carbon offsets to other vehicle manufacturers like Chevrolet and Dodge that are producing vehicles that are less clean. And in order to meet their efficiency quotas, they buy some of Tesla's.
So that's crazy.
That's what Tesla actually sells. I mean, you don't see enough Teslas driving around the United States to justify the amount of freaking time we spend talking about Tesla. Right? I've seen maybe three of these things in my entire life.
Oh, well, I see more than that. The reason you don't see them here in New Hampshire is because New Hampshire has a tax on their registration of your car that they call a fee. This is one of the big lies of the Free State Project is New Hampshire has the lowest tax burden of any state in the union. But if you buy a Tesla, a $70,000 or $80,000 car...
Remember, I lived in Vegas, right?
You're going to... What about it?
My experience is not limited to New Hampshire, but continue going on
about... I see Teslas constantly in Sarasota.
I think it started up a lot more in, like, Austin and San Antonio starting in, like, 2018.
I'm not saying Teslas aren't out there, certainly. Yeah. But they are not out there for Tesla to be national name recognized company. Not by any means. This is not Chevrolet or Mitsubishi or Toyota that we're talking about.
I don't know whether they should be. I like cars.
There's probably more DeLoreans running around on the streets of the United States than there are Teslas.
I would absolutely take that bet.
And when was the last time you saw a DeLorean? Is my main
very
question.
Rare. That's why I'm taking the bet.
I don't know.
What I would say is that yes. Tesla being valued as the most valuable car company in America overvalues Tesla. I would agree with you on that, but no, I mean, I see Tesla when I go out. If I go out in a car in Sarasota, I would expect to see a Tesla every day.
Right. And I'm not, I'm not saying your personal experience doesn't matter, but I'm saying what you're experiencing in Sarasota is not true across the United States.
And well, how many,
just like what you're experiencing here in New Hampshire is not true across the United States.
How many other, like if I just say Toyota, wouldn't you see like hundreds if you left your house?
Probably. Yeah, dozens, you know, certainly.
And it would make sense for us to talk about Toyota once a week or whatever, but we never do, right? But Tesla is constantly being talked about. And they're just, again, there aren't enough Tesla automobiles out there to justify the amount of attention that Tesla, the company, gets. There just aren't. And the reason that Tesla is making their money is by selling these carbon offsets to companies like Dodge and Chevrolet that are actually putting cars out there on the streets.
I think another thing Elon Musk does is he gets himself involved in more than just like business. Like, you know, I don't know who the owner of Toyota is, but I know that Elon Musk was in a throuple with Azalea Banks and Grimes.
I don't even. I don't know what those words mean. What?
See, you don't know what those words mean. I wouldn't have known about the selling carbon offsets stuff.
What the hell's a throuple? Is this like
a three-way couple?
Yes.
And who's Azalea and Grimes?
Azalea Banks. She's a rapper and she's really crazy. She admitted to killing chickens in a closet for like
a
witchcraft. She calls herself a bruja.
What is a bruja?
That's witch in Spanish.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
Yeah, so
that
she's
is
crazy.
Way more about this person than I ever.
I just rambled off what I know about her because she asked.
And I did ask.
Grimes is a Canadian singer. I really don't like her music. It's like kind of like electro, hyper pop type stuff, and she's really ugly.
I'm not going to ask what any of that means either.
And she had a baby with Musk.
Okay.
And they named it Xenon C3000 or whatever.
Yeah, a series of poor decisions by all involved parties seems to happen.
He does have a lot of children, as I understand
it. Yeah, I learned recently that he has more than just that kid. He has like a bunch, apparently, different moms.
I mean, good for him on that, I guess, if that's what he wants to do with his time. But I first learned about carbon offsets from an episode of King of the Hill, where the propane company, Strickland Propane, wanted to go green because they were polluting or whatever. Hank, of course, had the common sense approach. No, we need to just turn the AC down and start turning off lights when we're not using them, that sort of thing. But no, instead, we're going to buy the carbon offset rights. This was Butts of Strickland's idea. We're going to buy the carbon offset rights to this forest that already exists. And that will make Strickland Propane a green company.
Wow.
And Hank rightly pointed out, that's nonsense. The forest is already there. By buying the rights to the carbon offsets, you're not contributing anything. You're not changing anything. You're not doing anything.
I've seen every episode of King of the Hill, and that must have just gone over my head because I was like mostly a kid when I watched a lot of it.
And that's literally what Tesla does. They just have cars that don't pollute a lot, so they make up the difference by selling that pollution their cars aren't doing to Chevrolet and Dodge and Ford. And that's how they're making their billions and billions of dollars is money from other automobile manufacturers so that they don't have to make cleaner automobiles. Not that I think cleaner automobiles will solve anything, but the government seems to think they do. And so they put these quotas, and your cars have to meet these emission standards or blah, 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 or for every 1,000 cars you sell, you're only allowed this amount of carbon to be produced or whatever. So they buy the rest of theirs from Tesla.
They also convince people that that is what's going to help the planet and then, you know, tell the people demand this pointless, you know, act.
What if I buy the car, shouldn't I get the carbon offset for the car?
Well, that's probably why you get the tax break or whatever that you get for buying a Tesla, right?
I see. Okay.
I don't know that part because I don't own a Tesla, but I imagine that's probably what the tax break in realistic terms is probably for.
You don't have a car right now, right?
No, I'm carless. Anyone want to buy my carbon offset?
See, that's innovation, right?
Right.
Or at least that's what Musk would call innovation.
I'll sell you two carbon offsets because I'm having meatless Mondays, too.
Why?
Why?
Yeah.
Well, why?
Because, in fact, cows produce methane, and methane is a real greenhouse gas because it actually causes a greenhouse effect as opposed to carbon, which is
are you supplementing collagen at least?
What's this?
Are you at least supplementing collagen because that's going to be bad for your joints if you don't eat meat?
It's Meatless Monday.
Yes, one seventh of your life you're not eating meat.
don't worry about me and my meat consumption. I can assure you that I'm offsetting my own offset the other 6 days of the week. And I
whatever it takes to save the earth.
Right.
But let's go to the phone.
It's just an idea, and half the time I forget about it.
Hmm. We do have a call on the line. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, this is Peter. Listen to the show tonight, and I know Aria was commenting on Teslas not being very common, but probably depending on where you live, on the West Coast or in California, Teslas here are a dime a dozen.
That makes sense.
You know, yeah, it was kind of strange for you to say you might see one every 2 weeks, because I'm going to the parking lot right now and see 8 to 10 of them.
That's how it is in New Hampshire. I've seen like one every several weeks or 2 weeks.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think
exactly
that's
what.
Really the licensing tax that New Hampshire right. has that causes they call a fee.
I don't know. I don't see a lot of Priuses in New Hampshire either. I'm not convinced that it's necessarily the registration
Priuses
fees.
Are very common here.
It might be different in like Portsmouth too. Portsmouth has more like rich young.
No, Mark. Seeing something driven
a Prius.
Seeing something frequently doesn't make it common. It just means something that you see frequently. When we say common, we mean that it represents X percentage of automobiles out there. So seeing a Prius every single day doesn't mean Priuses are common when it's passed by 10,000 Toyotas and Dodges and Fords that are common. Right, well, just because it happens regularly doesn't mean it's common.
I would call a Prius common. I lived here up until like 2 years ago, and I've been here every...
I would argue that if it represents even 1% of vehicles, it still isn't common.
Okay, well, I don't know what the most common vehicle is. I'd guess a Subaru in New Hampshire.
In New Hampshire, yeah.
You need that all-wheel drive because you're going to get stuck in the mud.
Some sort of hatchback,
like
definitely.
Three Subarus at this house, I think.
Good Lord.
Maybe just two.
It's all, not enough things are paved in
New
Hampshire.
They're all hatchbacks for sure, aren't they?
Well, I was just going to say one of the big reasons in California is we get a nice tax credit for buying an electric vehicle. So
okay.
It's a sizable tax credit, so that's kind of a encouragement, whether it be a Hyundai, whatever, so there's a big tax break for it.
So the government's effectively paying people to buy Teslas.
I'd buy a
Absolutely.
Prius for that, so,
yeah.
You know, saving money.
Cool. All right, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight, Peter. And again, I don't want to say that Tesla. I'm not saying Teslas aren't out there, that they don't exist, and that no one drives a Tesla. If I say no one drives a Tesla, then I'm obviously being hyperbolic, and I don't mean that statement literally. But I will absolutely stand by the statement that percentage-wise, Teslas are not common.
I've conceded that Tesla gets far more
sure.
sort of talk than it has of the market share, and I will concede that happily and readily.
If they were really common, this situation wouldn't probably happen, but I've heard that, there's this girl I watch on Snapchat. She lives in Portland, Oregon, so it's not the middle of nowhere, and she has a Tesla and a branch. She had the video of it. It just fell out of a tree while she was driving and landed right on her car. So anyways, it was like minimal damage, but she had to like make an appointment to get it inspected, to get it fixed by Tesla. And it's been like 2 months now just waiting for the inspection, like the first appointment. And she said it's because not many places around her actually take Teslas at all.
I'm sure that's true.
So
yeah,
like if it was really common, everyone would be working on Teslas.
Electric motors don't need the kind of maintenance that combustion engines need, and therefore you just don't have the service system, the apparatus.
Most of Tesla stuff is probably proprietary as well, right? I wouldn't put it past Elon Musk at all to be like, no, you have to use proprietary screwdrivers and not Phillips and not Flathead's, a special one that we've invented, right? And you probably have to have a license, just like Apple does, in order to work on a Tesla automobile. So that's the number one reason that I don't think I would buy a Tesla, because you can't get it serviced anywhere except a Tesla dealership. And that is prohibitively expensive for just about anyone.
I'm on the wait list for an Aptera.
What's that?
It's a solar car. It's shaped like a teardrop.
All right.
And
I remember you wanted one of those Tesla trucks.
I did. I am on the wait list for a Tesla truck, but
why?
Wait, is it Aptera Tesla as well?
No.
Oh.
But I think they likely believe that they will be bought by Tesla at some point.
I got to look this up. I don't have my phone.
The reason I like the truck is because I think it's unique looking, and I thought it was neat. So.
Okay.
Well, I thought
but it
cool
doesn't look
too.
Like it's ever going to exist.
So yeah. Buy a DeLorean. They're unique.
Yeah.
Aren't DeLoreans coming back as well? I seem to recall that they are.
They were trying to bring it back. It's not so easy to produce cars that aren't from the major manufacturers.
I hate the 80s, so I would never.
Well, the DeLorean, the only thing it's really got is the gold wing doors. I mean,
yeah.
And that's okay.
So back to the subject of Elon Musk and Twitter, NPR's business reporter Bobby Allen reported that Musk plans to apply that label to, quote, a larger number of institutions, but it's unclear exactly how he plans to use the new label. And that new label is government-funded that was put on the BBC and NPR, both of which, of course, are government-funded. I don't know if I would say this statement about NPR, but BBC, as I understood, they are a government broadcasting company. Like, they are part of the British government, aren't they?
NPR is government-funded, too.
Well, I don't think the BBC is just government-funded, though. I think they're government-run. They are as state-run as, you know, Russia today is.
Yeah,
it's just a different government.
I don't feel like they're quite as beholden to the political apparatus, but
I saw
that's
something
fine.
About it. I clicked on the See More Information on Twitter about this because somebody was like, this is, you know, BS. But Twitter gives you, like, more information now in little blurbs. And it said that every British person has to pay a tax BBC. And the government decides every year what the tax will be. I mean, well, yeah, the government decides, so.
That's true.
So as of Sunday evening, Twitter's posted policies do not appear to have been updated to reflect these latest statements, but that's not surprising. I mean, Musk seems to sort of legislate on a whim with these companies that he owns. Twitter originally added a U.S. state-affiliated media to NPR's main Twitter account without explanation or warning in what appeared to be a direct violation of Twitter's previously stated policies. Well, Twitter, I'm sure, has written in their policies that they can change their policies at any time they want, because that's what all of these corporations have, and I would be stunned if Twitter didn't have that. So they cannot violate their own previously stated policies. All they can do is change them, and if you don't like it, don't use Twitter, unfortunately, because that's the nature of the beast that you're dealing with when you deal with the corporation. When pressed by NPR, Musk couldn't provide a reason for the label, but said that he would look into it. But I don't believe for a minute that Elon Musk didn't know exactly why NPR had this label. But I don't understand, like, Musk being the abrasive person willing to push buttons that he is, why he would deny knowing anything about
this.
Yeah,
that is weird. I would have thought that, I mean, it's funny if it's on purpose. If it's not, that's kind of weird.
He has been.
Well, he doesn't need to be him. It could be somebody else who's made the call, and I would agree with the call.
Yeah,
but they would be doing so.
NPR doesn't like being called government funded. It's called National Public Radio.
Is that
it's everything but Joe Biden's toilet paper. Like you know, they are government-funded radio.
And I know that that's an insult, but why are they taking it as an insult? Shouldn't they be, like, shouldn't they be wearing that on their sleeves?
That's true, because it was originally U.S. state-affiliated media, which I feel like is probably more accurate, and now it's just government-funded media, which is less innocuous. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there's some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with the crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.